We're going to talk today about fighting the right fight. Many Christians are striving, seeking victory, seeking overcoming things, and they end up going around the mountain over and over and over again. Many Christians started off hungry for God, desiring to win the world, ran off and ended up going around the mountain, and they wake up when they're older and realize their life never really accomplished what they thought it was going to accomplish. Well, I want to focus on the right fight. If I'm going to spend time fighting, I want to win a fight where I get the victory. I don't want to just spend my time, as Paul said, beating the air, just pretending I'm fighting, but nothing's changing. The whole point of overcoming is to get victory and to overcome. And I see many people chase so many ways to try to get victory in their life. There's people who run from conference to conference, from meeting to meeting, from teacher to teacher, trying to get a special anointing, a special victory, a new fancy way of getting victory pops up every week on social media. I found a special way in the Bible for us to get victory. I found a special word, you have to say it the right way. Now, we've all been saying the name Jesus wrong. It needs to be spoken this way or it doesn't work. A lot of silly things that people chase after again and again, always trying to get a victory. If they just fight the right fight that's always been in the Word, they would find the victory. So I want to talk a bit about that today and why praying in tongues is such an important part of getting victory in your life. I'll start over here in one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. So that's a picture that you, when you're born again, receive the new inner man. The inner man has a mind, emotions, and desires. It's of the Spirit. In fact, it's more of the Spirit. It's of righteousness. It's birthed of God. That's your inner man. It's birthed of God. It's completely righteous. It's immature. It has to grow and develop. But it is of God. It has the ability to grow and learn and mature just as Jesus did. But you're still wearing the old outward man that's left over from your first birth. Your first birth was responsibility of your parents. They brought you into this world and you inherited your looks, your body type, your color, your hair, everything from them, from the DNA of your parents. Now God has created you, when you were born again, a new person. And that's who He fellowships with. That's who He teaches and encourages. Many Christians have learned a religion. I call it the carnal tree of ministry, where they learn how to follow God through their outward man, how to believe God, experience God, serve God through their outward man. And they don't realize that they're really serving their outward man's desires, their flesh. A religious flesh, but it's still flesh. And they don't even know it. And they end up limiting God, what God can do through them, because they focus their life on what they could do for God rather than becoming like Jesus, growing the love of God in them. So the Holy Spirit has the same authority to work through them that He did through Jesus. So knowing I have an inner man and outward man, that helps us to understand these verses in Romans 8 a little better. Verse 13, Romans 8. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's the old nature. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So here is a battle. In Galatians, it's called the flesh versus the Spirit. Here in Romans, it's the deeds of the body versus the Spirit. The Spirit is your inner man. Your inner man is where your new nature lives, and it's where you live, but it has to grow and develop. God wants that new nature, righteousness, to produce fruit in you, and that fruit being love, joy, peace, the characteristics of Christ developed in you. But you're still wearing the outward man. This outward body has deeds. That means it has desires. That's the words here. Put to death the deeds of the body. Mortify the deeds of the body tells you that is the natural soul. The natural man has a soul, a mind, will, and emotions. that has its own idea of where happiness lies, success lies, and it can dress up like a churchgoer. It can conform to look like Christ, act like Christ, but it's not of Christ. It's of this world. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, this your inner man, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So that's the real battle for every Christian, is to understand that you have an inner man that's of God, but it's in the Spirit. It must grow and develop, and you must discover it and learn how to live out of the inner man. And then put to death, to mortify the deeds of the body. The body just doesn't disappear. The deeds of the body don't disappear. You can't believe them away. You can't identify them away. You can't ignore them. You must mortify them. And he's beginning to describe this battle that every believer has to go through. He goes on in Romans 8, 9, 10, and 11 to describe the battle of all the dispensations of finding God and walking with God. But in Romans 8 here, he's really specifying for us the battle of the inner man versus the outward man. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That's your new nature. You received the new nature of righteousness. And it has birthed the inner man into complete righteousness. It has the ability, a spiritual mind with the ability to understand God, because it's from God. If I were to take your DNA from your inner man, I can trace it back through Jesus to God as your Father. If I take the DNA of your outward man, I can trace it to your earthly parents all the way to Adam. Your outward man's of Adam. God's not the father of your outward man. He's the father of your inner man. That's why you can understand him, know him, and walk in the emotions of Christ if you let them develop as fruit. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, this is the first mention of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with our new nature and our inner man that we are the children of God. Children, then heirs. Heirs with Christ and joint heirs with Christ, heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now here is the faith message that every Christian needs to hear, that there is a suffering that's required if we're ever going to walk in receiving all the inheritance that God has for us. To walk in receiving all the inheritance that God has for you on this earth does not come because you give it an offering, because you just believe it. You must suffer. And that's the suffering we're going to talk about. That if I want to suffer, I don't mind suffering. If I want to lose weight, I'll suffer by not eating the foods that really excite me. I'll suffer by exercising with the goal of losing weight. I don't mind suffering to get healthy. But I don't want to suffer and not change, not see the victory. And many Christians, because they've been taught a carnal Christianity, how to go do things for God, they spend their life suffering without seeing the victory of overcoming. And eventually they just lower the standard. That's good enough to get to heaven. God has a plan for you, my friend, a plan to touch this world, to change this world, to change your life and your family's life. And he's going to give us some instructions on how we can suffer, how to fight the right fight. I don't mind fighting. I don't mind pressing towards something, but I want to press towards the things that are eternal, the things that really bring change in my life, the victories in my life that the Word promises. And if children, then heirs. We like to talk about how I'm an heir of God. I'm a child of God. My daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and so do I. But here he tells us, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 18, For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is talking about the moment we are glorified and receive a new outward man, that there is a suffering in this present time. If you want to be a leader in God's kingdom and be used by Him in this kingdom, you must accept this verse, that in this present time, today in your life, you're going to have to suffer if you're going to receive the inheritance that God has for you. If you don't suffer, the carnal Christianity church, they don't teach suffering. They don't teach putting your outward man on the cross every day as much as they teach get God to use you, get God to love you. They're missing the target. And because of that, you have generation after generation of people who poured their time and their life into the kingdom of God, but never really walked in the fullness of what they wanted. I don't want that to be me, and I don't want that to be you. If we're going to fight, let's fight the right fight. So he's beginning to tell us about this suffering, this fight, and it's clear to me in these verses, it's the inner man versus the outward man. That he had to leave you in this outward body, this outward man, and it has been left in darkness. It's been left in sin. It hasn't been rescued. He's not going to rescue your outward man. He really doesn't want you to fix the outward man and to dress it up like Jesus. He wants you to mortify the deeds of the outward man. He wants you to mortify it and live out of your inner man. Let that inner man grow. And if you want to know how to let the inner man grow, I got lots of message about praying in tongues and worship and reading your word to feed the inner man the nutrients it needs to grow up and mature. Many Christians will live their whole life in their carnal man. If I went down to the bar on Saturday night, I can find out lots of good old boys getting drunk and picking up women and doing drugs and fornicating like the world. And I'd say, oh, that's a sinner. And that's a man who's a sinner who needs to get saved. We understand sin as that someone who's of the world. But if I went to the mountains of Tibet and found a monk there who was serving a false god and spending his life devoted to serving that false god, waking up every morning at 4 a.m. and doing his chants to his false god, and then eating oatmeal and then going out to feed the poor, do his good works, and then reading his false scripture that afternoon and shaving his head and being fully devoted to a false god, we can look at them and think they're spiritual, but they're just as carnal. They're a sinner too, just like the good old boy at the bar. And I want you to see that both of them are not saved. Both of those men I described are of this world, but yet, and they're both wearing fleshly bodies. But one person is given into a worldly sin of fornication and drunkenness. He's a sinner. But also one has devoted his life to religion, and he's still a sinner. Your outward man will be glad to accept religion rather than drinking and smoking, but both of them are still sinners. They're not born again. Many Christians, they devote their life to serve God. Tell me how to act. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it. But they're not transforming. They're living in their outward man, dressing it up in religion. They're saved and going to heaven, but they're living through their outward body. And the message of Romans 8 is, how do we, number one, the only way to fulfill your calling, to receive the full inheritance, is to develop your inner man and live out of that inner man. And number two, to mortify the deeds of the body. So in that is a fight. And that's what he's talking about in Romans 8 here, is God is saying, I'm sorry I left you in a fight with your outward man. I'm sorry I left you in a fight with your outward mind, will, and emotions. It's going to try to lead you and guide you every day. It's going to wake up and try to tell you how to live. But if you live through that, you're not going to finish your calling on the earth. You'll get to heaven as long as you got that new nature in you, but you're going to live in a carnal Christianity, always going around the mountain again and again. Are you tired of going around the mountain? Are you tired of having victory for a season and then going all the way back to the same place over and over again, waiting for some miraculous change in your life, your circumstances? Or will you get into a fight where you'll win and grow and overcome to where you're living above all that junk and living in victory? That is the power of praying in tongues, and it's in this picture of overcoming the flesh. The suffering we're supposed to suffer is us against the outward man. Me putting to death the deeds of my outward body. We don't want to harm the body, the skin and the fingers. We don't want to hurt our body. We want a healthy body. It is the temple of God. But it's the deeds of the body. That is your natural soul that lives in the outward man that will try to tell you who you are, how to be happy, how to be successful. For I consider, verse 18, that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So if I suffer the right suffering, I will experience a glory that will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation earnestly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So even the earth itself is waiting for the sons of God to come forward. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. So God is forcing the earth to come to an end. He's forcing the earth to come to a conclusion, like a woman in labor. He's forcing it to come to a transformation point to where it'll become a new earth and a new universe for us to live in. For creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in all hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This is talking about when the earth is transformed into a new earth, it'll be delivered to us, the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now here is the suffering that we're supposed to be facing every day. That our body is being forced to submit to a place of yielding over its plans, its desires, and submitting to the inner man. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. God willingly, he chose to put you in this battle. It was his choice. Because he knows, number one, you can win. He's not taking your outward man to heaven. Your outward man stops existing the moment the trumpet sounds or you pass away. And you're left with your inner man. Your inner man is the real you. But you're wearing an outward man that has a soul that wants to tell you what to do, how to live, how to be happy, how to be successful. Religious is how we live through God, through our carnal man, and make it do things for God and act like Jesus rather than mortifying it and growing and becoming like Christ. So there is a fight, that there's groaning involved and struggling and suffering that we're supposed to walk in every day. That's when you accept that the real you should walk like Jesus. And the old you needs to be put up on the cross or on the altar every day. That is a suffering. And when you go through that suffering and say, how can I live like Jesus? I'm tired of fighting this stuff every day, God, every day. Every week, every month, I fight the same struggle. I go around and around and around. Eventually, there should be a groaning come out of you. Help! I need help. I don't want to stay this way anymore. I'm willing to fight. Just show me how to fight. Show me where to fight. And he does. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. So why do we still hope for what he's for? Why does one hope for what he sees? So the hope is, one day I will receive a new glorified body, and for the rest of eternity there'll be no more struggle, no more battle, no more fighting, no more sickness, disease, sadness, sorrow, anger, pride, jealousy. Well, that tells you where all that junk is. All that junk is in your mortal body, this outward man, the soul of the outward man. That's why it's the deeds of the body. So there is hope, but I can't see the answer. Yes, God, I know. God says, yes, I know you can't see the answer because you won't get the glorified body until the trumpet sounds. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait with it with perseverance. So when I accept that, okay, I have to wait until I receive a glorified body where I don't have to fight it every day, that's hope. But then he says that we eagerly wait for with perseverance. He's saying you don't have to wait until the trumpet sounds for you to have victory over the outward man. Your victory can begin today. You don't wait for that. The hope is that I don't have to fight it every day. As long as you're wearing this body, you're going to have dominion over it, and you're going to have to fight it and continually put it up on the cross every single day. If you're not living that life as a Christian, you're fighting the wrong fight. You're going to end up going around the mountain. Some people don't realize it for 20 years. 20 years of following a message of faith into God before you realize that you haven't accomplished what you knew God wanted you to do. It's because you did it with your carnal man. Religion is stealing the victories of millions and millions of believers, and they don't even know it. They may not even realize it till they get to heaven. But they're going to find out they live their life serving their outward man in the name of religion. What can I do for Jesus? What can I do today for Jesus? And really the message here is, why don't you spend your time fighting to become like Jesus? And he gives us the answer. Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. There we go. There's the Holy Spirit helping us the way he said he would in verse 16. That the Holy Spirit bears witness with us. We are children of God. He acknowledges you're a child of God, and I'm going to help you grow up to be a person who walks in all the things of the inheritance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses or infirmities. Everything that's stopping you from becoming all that God wants you to be. That's your weakness. That's your infirmity. Anything that's hindering you from being like Jesus, every emotion, every brokenness, every fear, every bit of pride, the Holy Spirit will begin to help you in our weaknesses. This is why praying in tongues is so important. See, the way you get the Holy Spirit to help you is if you let him do the work in you. That's what praying tongues does. It brings his help through us, for us. You don't get it just from an anointing. They have very popular deliverance ministries now where you come to get delivered in a service. But every one of those people leave. And there are needs for spiritual deliverance. I believe that. But most of the people that need help isn't with a spirit as much as it is with their body, their flesh. The natural soul. Many people come to me over the years saying, hey, I need to be delivered. I want you to pray for me to break this habit. I want to change. Anointed man of God, lay your hands on me so I can be delivered. And you can make good money as a preacher if you advertise that you can help people like that. But I have to be honest with them. I say, look, I'm pretty good at casting out devils. I was trained by Norval Hayes. We were really good at casting out devils. If you just twitched the wrong way, we'd throw you to the ground and say, come out in Jesus' name. And we would keep saying it and go from him in Jesus' name until you were free. Cast out crying devils, yelling devils, screaming devils, angry devils. And I have to tell the man, look, I know you want to have a demon cast out of you so you can be a better man. And I'm good at casting out demons, but really I can't cast out flesh. Flesh is something you're wearing. Your body is something you're wearing that you must mortify the deeds of the body. And so many Christians are discouraged because they've tried to go to many ministries to get free. They've given a lot of money, paid a lot of money to travel, and didn't walk away from freedom. Or at least it didn't stick for long. Because you're wearing that body. It's your battle. It's a personal battle. It's a civil war that began the moment you were saved. The inner man versus the outward man. But he says, with the hope of us receiving a new outward body and being glorified in that moment, the hope is that I don't have to wait until that moment to be free. That moment's only going to mean I won't have to fight it every day. But I can have victory and begin walking in victory today. That's the fight. What do I need to do today to have victory tomorrow or the next day? Even if it takes me 5 years, I don't mind as long as I get a victory over it and have defeated it and killed it. That's what mortification means. It's a gladiator fight, not a fun fight with water pistols. It's a gladiator fight to the death. It means there's parts of your natural soul that are trying to tell you who you are and how to live. And the Holy Spirit wants to help you to find the root of that and to murder it, to kill it. That's what mortification means. If you haven't been raised on a farm, you may not understand the killing of animals or how they make your hamburgers and your chicken tenders. But an animal's killed in those moments. Farm boys have a more reality when it comes to killing of animals, because it's just part of their life. Many city folk really don't have an idea how their meat got on their table, but it's a killing. And there's killing involved with this walk, the suffering, there's a killing. The Holy Spirit wants to help you to murder the brokenness of your natural man, to kill it. That's what killing means. It means there's blood, there's a knife, and something dies. That's what mortification means. Mortification is not that, I chose not to sin today, I mortified it. No, that's denying your flesh. It's still good. But murder means it's dead. It's no longer speaking to you. If you have parts of your past still pushing you, still trying to get you to do things, and you're having to resist things, anger, jealousy, sin, then it's not murdered yet. You haven't mortified it yet. But there is a victory where you can mortify even the root of that brokenness, and you'll have a different personality. You'll be a different person because you're living from a different place. You're living from a place of victory, of righteousness, of holiness that your inner man is right now. And as you spend the time fighting the right kind of fight, that inner man will grow and develop and mature, and soon the love of Christ in your inner man will challenge the fake love of Alan on the outward man and say, that's not good enough. The holiness of Christ will rise up in me and look over at the holiness of Alan and say, that's not good enough. The hope of Alan, the peace of Alan, the joy of the hope of Christ, the joy of Christ will rise up in my inner man and grow up in my inner man like fruit on a tree. It will start to come out of me, and then I'll begin to mortify the fakeness of religious Alan trying to act like Jesus. And see, that is transformation. And that's available for every child of God. It doesn't matter how deep into sin you are, how many times you failed. I want you to embrace your struggle in the sense of, it's okay that you're struggling. Hey, at least you know that you're struggling. Do you know that many Christians have accepted a religion where they don't have to face their struggle? They just hide it behind the grace and love of God, and they pretend they have a fake relationship with God. Not that they won't go to heaven, but they've hidden their flesh behind religion. They've hidden the deeds of the outward man behind religion and dressed it up where they don't even have a struggle. Everything is great every day. Hey, at least you're struggling. At least you haven't given up on fighting for the holiness, fighting for the maturity of God in you. I just want us fighting the right fight. If you fight the right fight, every day you're going to win. I gave the example of if I went to the gym, or let's say this a scrawny guy goes to the gym, and there's a bunch of weightlifters there lifting 600, 700 pounds, 300 kilos of weights in a squat, and the skinny guy goes up and says, hey, I want to be like you. Can I squat, 300 kilos? If he's a good man, he'll say, yes, you can, but you got to work your way up to it. And it's a good way to look at maturity, that even if you want to be a man of God, you have to develop it and grow it, mature it. It doesn't come instantly the moment you're saved. That's the picture in the scripture as newborn babies. We're born again with our inner man operating like a newborn baby. It doesn't know anything. It must mature in knowledge. It must mature in the fruit of the Spirit, mature in love and righteousness, or not righteousness, love and peace and joy. It has complete righteousness. That's what I was trying to say. So you go to the gym and they say, well, I'll tell you what, just stand under this 300 kilos, let's put it on your back, and then you've got the victory. You're already complete in Christ. And I see this happen to many Christians in the carnal Christianity. They're told they're complete in Christ. They just have to accept who they are and ignore who they were. And they just have to choose to be walk in that man. And there's some truth in that, but it's not a full picture, because you're not complete. You're immature. You got to grow up. You're complete in Christ in the fact that you have the nature of Christ. You have the ability to become like Christ, but it's not finished the moment you're saved. It's actually finished the moment you're glorified. And that doesn't happen until the trumpet sounds. But if you fight the right fight, suffer the right suffering, persevere, then you're going to develop victory tomorrow by what you do today. If you don't do it today, you won't have victory tomorrow. And that's what they would tell that young man, the young skinny man at the gym. Look, if I put this 300 kilos on your back, you'll probably break your back. So let's not start there. Let's start with what you can do. Let's start with 10 pounds. Oh, good job, 20 pounds. Well, the bar is 20 pounds, so let's go to 40 pounds. Let's go to 60 pounds. And eventually you'll build up and grow in muscles. Well, if you fight the right fight and you spend this time with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to help you in your infirmities, your weaknesses, in the struggles. Why am I the way I am? Why do I desire the things I desire? Why do I struggle this way and that way? Religion allows people to hide their struggles and pretend they're good, but they know they're not. They know they feel like frauds every time they go to church. Well, you are victorious already if you fight the right fight. The way I would help a young man who wanted to squat 300 kilograms would be, let's start with what you can and let's build up, and you'll get stronger and stronger. Eventually, you'll be over that. Let me give you a verse here in 1 John real quick. We'll come back to Romans 8. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young man, because you've overcome the wicked one. Now here He uses three different people of different maturities: child, young man, and father. And see, there is a progression of maturity in the kingdom of God, that we start as newborn babies and we develop to young men, to children, to young men, to fathers. Fathers are the ones who are responsible for others. A child is only responsible for himself. And so there's a maturing process that's available to you, a growing process. So it doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't matter what you've been struggling with for 30, 40 years. If you fight the right fight, you're going to get victory over it. Why I am the way I am? Well, that's all the brokenness of the natural soul, the deeds of the body. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly where it came from. And if you spend time praying in tongues, allowing Him to help you, then He'll build up that inner man and eventually expose the brokenness of the outward man. Why you want that. And He'll shine a light on it, and He'll hand you a knife and say, now kill it, murder it, put it to death. And when you do that, when you overcome and put that thing to death, it no longer speaks to you. Now, I'm not talking about food or the desire for sex. God doesn't tell us to mortify hunger or to mortify sexual desire. He does give us regulations for those things. If you want to feed sexual desire, no problem. Get married. One man marrying a woman in the marriage can satisfy that desire. And hunger, just regulate it through fasting and eating healthy. You regulate it. You don't just give everything it wants. But these other areas of brokenness of the natural soul, we are to mortify them. That means you can kill it and it will die. It won't speak to you anymore. You have been free. If you want real freedom, that's real freedom. That I've killed the voice of the flesh that's telling me I need this. Give it to me now. And it's no longer speaking to me. That's real freedom. That's the path of victory we're talking about here. Verse 25 again. For if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, infirmities, everything that's in our way, everything, every deed of the natural body that we're supposed to put to death, He will help us do it. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. If you'll just spend time praying in tongues, you're going to find that your inner man will grow up, rise up in strength and maturity, and you'll begin to win in places you used to lose in. Let's fight the right fight. Listen, I fought for holiness in my youth, trying willpower, trying discipline, getting ministers to lay hands on me, I get under the anointing. I fought it and fought it and then failed and failed and fought it and failed. And would just go around the mountain, around the mountain, around the mountain in certain areas. Until I heard Pastor Dave teach about the value of praying in tongues. That He will help you to overcome your infirmities, your battles, the areas you keep losing to. If you'll just spend time praying in the Holy Ghost and trust that it will work. And give it time to work. You will begin to find victories. After victory, after victory, as that inner man grows and develops and matures in the love of God, in the knowledge of God, you'll find out what a pitiful thing your outward man really is. What a hopeless thing it is to get victory in this world. If you fight the right fight. If you want to make a fight, make your fight. How can I spend my time in the prayer closet with the Holy Spirit? How can I spend my time praying in tongues? It may start at 10 minutes a day and then evolve to an hour a day or more. It's okay. Just start praying in tongues every day and keep it up. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If you're going to pray in tongues, you're not just praying understanding and spiritual knowledge. You're not just maturing in the love and holiness and peace of God. You're letting that righteousness develop and grow in you. But also you're praying out the perfect will of God for your life. So many people are searching prophecies. I got one friend, he travels to a couple conferences all the time, and you pay an extra $300, you get to sit on the front row and get to meet some of the preachers. I've encouraged him in the past, like, look, you're not going to get your answer there. Your answer is not going to be from man. Just go spend some time with someone who won't charge you $300. He's for free, and that's the Holy Spirit. He's your real helper. So just spend time praying in tongues. The carnal man will never let you do it for free. He'll fight you and punish you. But your inner man will love every moment you spend with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit loves every moment you let your inner man spend with Him. Just by taking time praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage you and feed that hope in you that you don't have to wait until heaven to have victory over your outward man. The only thing we get when we go to heaven is no more fighting the outward man. But you can have victory today. And it doesn't matter how deep into sin you are or how deep into wrong religion you are. If you'll just start every day praying in the Holy Ghost, make that your fight to make sure you spend your time praying in the Holy Ghost every day. And wherever you start is fine. 10 minutes a day, then get 10 minutes a day and be proud of your 10 minutes. And then maybe next week we can go to 15 minutes. And then the next week, an hour, you know. And just keep praying in the Holy Ghost and trusting that it's building, the Holy Spirit is building a case in your spiritual mind of knowledge, of revelation of who you are and how much God loves you, that eventually you will not tolerate those brokenness telling you anymore how to be happy, how to be successful. This fight with the outward man is not just for sin, for smoking and drinking. It's for who's going to lead your life, your broken outward soul or Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, the will of God in you. As you keep praying in tongues, you're praying forth the will of God. It is the source. I honestly believe that praying in tongues or time with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, is the source of every victory I need over every weakness, every infirmity that I'll face in my life. It's praying for my future. It's praying for my victory. So when I do have a moment of where I used to fail, one day I won't fail. And I'll be so thankful for all the time I spent with the Holy Spirit, with Him helping me to overcome my infirmity. Let's be tongue talkers and not be shy about it. The carnal church is going around the mountain again. This next generation is being trained by the old generation how to have big churches and how to draw people into church. And they're doing a good work again, people saved, and that's important. That's probably most important. But they're not doing a great job of helping people to develop and mature in their walk. And if you develop and mature in your walk, you will find that God can do more through you in a moment than you can do in a whole lifetime of trying to work for Him and do things for Him. Fight the right fight. Get your rear end in that prayer closet. The Holy Spirit is always there waiting. It's His joy of His life for you to spend time with Him, letting Him pray through you, for you. The perfect will of God. Victory is in your prayer language. Victory is in your time with the Holy Spirit. Fight the right fight. I love you. Appreciate you taking time with me again. And I'll see you soon. God bless you.